Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
It's, of course, the theme from the Bond franchise, and it's been a really long wait for No Time to Die. Its release date was put back time and again because of COVID, but it premieres at the end of the month with Daniel Craig playing 007 for the last time. So what's next for the Bond franchise? How did Daniel Craig stack up as the super spy? And what's your favourite Bond song? Well, I'm joined on the phone by Orla Condon, who's journalist and podcaster, and in the studio by Simon Marr, music journalist. You're both very welcome. Thank you for being here. Simon, I'll come to you first on this one. Some of the biggest names in show business have recorded Bond songs. It's still seen, isn't it, as a massive honour to be asked. You're top of your game when you're asked to do this.
Oh, absolutely. And it's one of those things that even when you go back way into the 60s, you know, people used to pitch to be the James Bond theme, because what you had at the end of the film was James Bond will return in, let's say, The Spy Who Loved Me. And every singer and songwriter would go off and they'd write a song and they'd submit it into the producers and say, use it, please, because this was your way in. If you weren't big yet, this was going to make you huge. And there would be huge rows about who would get the gig. And people, like very, very high profile people like Johnny Cash, lots of people put in their songs and the producer just went, you know, no, you're all right.
Well, let's talk about somebody now who is considered to be Bond song royalty. Let's listen to this first.
Goldfinger, he's the man. A cold finger.
So no prizes for guessing that that's Shirley Bassey.
Yeah, and the only person invited back to do it. Three themes that she did. She did Goldfinger, obviously enough, Diamonds Are Forever, and then much later on for Moonraker. So over the space of 15 or 20 years, she kept getting asked back and submitted three or four more songs that didn't get used into the 80s and the 90s, but she still managed to belt out Goldfinger at the Oscars 2013. Mm-hmm. However many years later, still a great performance, and she is the epitome of a Bond singer because she's got the image as well as the song.
Absolutely. She's all part of that glamorous scene. Orla, how do you rate Daniel Craig's Bond up against some of the others, Sean Connery, Roger Moore, our own Pierce Brosnan?
I mean, Daniel Craig ushered in a new kind of generation of Bond viewers and a new style of Bond, which was demanded really at the time that he took over the role. Pierce Brosnan was kind of disappointing near the end of his run, and the films weren't really kind of delivering the high action thriller that you know viewers were looking for when the likes of Jason Bourne were appearing on our screens and movies like that. So Daniel Craig was really a time for them to refresh the series, the franchise rather, and give it a new lease in life. And he's definitely done that. I mean, over the kind of however many years he's been in the role, he's really brought in a much grittier James Bond, a much darker James Bond, some really nasty villains, which is kind of a huge departure from the kind of Roger Moore camp villain days.
A grumpier James Bond, did you say that?
He has the weight of the world on his shoulders, yeah. Claire.
He always has a face on him, doesn't he? Never smiles.
He's always in a bit of a strop, isn't he? But he's a lot to do. Busy guy, you know, busy guy, tough challenges ahead.
Simon is busy, but he always has a smile on his face, you see?
Dog.
What do we know about this new one, No Time to Die? Do we have any idea what it's about so far?
We have fragments of information, not a huge amount of detail on the film. They've tried to keep it somewhat under wraps, although haven't seen the script go through multiple rewrites and changes and things have naturally leaked over the last kind of year or so. But this picks up 5 years after Spectre, and James Bond has kind of gone into somewhat of a retirement. He's kind of hung up his gun and his badge, and he's not really in that world anymore until his longtime friend Felix Leiter comes to get him and says that he needs his help. A scientist has been taken, and there's questions about why and what's going to happen. And James is kind of lured back into MI6 and his 007 role. And you'll see it throughout the trailers. If you watch the trailers, there's a lot of kind of you know, finishing details in the trailers. It feels like it's wrapping up. There's a lot of mentions of conclusions and one more go, and we have to get this right, and this is our last chance. But also, this is a series that will continue. So they're kind of ushering towards this new style of baddie, you know, talking about their new methods of getting weapons and their new methods of targeting people and how James has to adapt. So it's kind of wrapping up his tenure in the role and also looking ahead to whoever's going to pick up and wherever the story is going to go next.
And who's it going to be? I mean, it's a question that's been asked for years, isn't it, Simon? Who's the new Bond going to be? We don't know yet. Lots of names in the frame.
No, but everybody wants the gig. You know, it's one of those things that they've talked
about. Daniel
Craig
said he didn't really want
the gig. I suppose it's the cool, the only way to be cool is to definitely not be cool, so it's to say that you don't want it. But you do. You know, if you're an actor, you want the gig. You want the James Bond gig, apart from the fame and the money and all that stuff. You know, there is a particular sort of a status for going along with being Bond. Mm-hmm. And even though it's a franchise, and it's one of dozens of franchises that are there now, there will always be something special about the Bond franchise. So every actor worth their salt will want it and will be going for it. And just like, you know, Alice Cooper was sending in songs, every actor will be sending in a CV and a showreel of themselves as Bond.
So whose name is in the frame at the moment, Orla? Because it changes, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah, like it's been such a long wait for No Time to Die. So naturally, ever since, and Daniel Craig had said he was done, that he wouldn't be returning. And then when it was confirmed, it just pushed those rumours on down the line. So, I mean, it's been going for years. Poor Idris Elba's inbox must be just overflowing with requests for comments on whether he's going to be the next James Bond. But I would imagine people like Idris Elba, they're a little bit old for the role now. Idris Elba's heading on 50. I would imagine they're going to pick someone in their 30s to give a bit of time to get a couple of films out of whoever takes up the role next. But there's tons of names in the mix. I mean, if you're Reggae John Page said it himself, if you're an English actor who's done anything of note, you're kind of in the mix. And that's a fairly accurate assessment.
Oh, he's the star of Bridgerton.
Yeah, so he's recently, kind of in the last six to 8 months, he's someone that's kind of come out as somewhat of a front runner. He's the right age. He's 31, I believe. So it gives him plenty of time to kind of let the dust die down on Daniel Craig and then get going on it. You know, if he's heading on to kind of 35, he's really the perfect age to pick up as a young Bond and kind of revitalise the franchise. But I mean, there's no shortage of names in the mix. And obviously then you have the questions of, will it be a woman and will there be a woman taking over the role? That doesn't look likely. It looks like they've ruled that out. But like you said, there's no shortage of kind of British actors who are the right age, the right stock to kind of step into those shoes.
Simon?
I'm saying David Tennant. I think David Tennant would be the ideal. Just to take it in a completely different
way. And Orla laughed. Did you catch the laugh?
Yeah, I did, yeah. But because
But
because you've had such different types of Bond, and that's always been the way that you had. Yeah, the difference from, you know, between Moore and Connery, and then they tried to take it different directions loads of times. And I think, yeah, with grumpy, craggy Daniel Craig was to go one direction. Now, where do they go? I think they have an opportunity to take it in a slightly different direction. I have to say, when it comes to Bond movies, I enjoyed the sort of the almost pantomime more than the very, very serious stuff. You know, the I've been expecting a Mr. Bond stuff, I think is what's great. And I think someone like David Tennant would be brilliant.
But he was Doctor Who.
He was Doctor Who,
You can't do both, can you?
I think you can. Why not? Why not?
Don't know. Orla, we did catch the laugh.
I just think age is a big thing. And I also think, you know, these actors, when they pick up the role, they're usually not, you know, mega stars who are kind of top of their game. And David Tennant would be seen as kind of, you know, one of a really strong, well-known British actor who's already quite established. And I just feel like in comparison to how the other actors have kind of stepped into the roles, he's potentially a little bit further on in his career. And I also question, you know, I know what Simon's saying about signing up to James Bond, and it's such an honour, but you do have to consider contracts and how many movies you're going to be tied into and what that takes you off the market from. And I wonder if someone like David Tennant, who's had those obstacles with Doctor Who and other series, is he wanting to, you know, will he want to sign himself up for quite a substantial amount of time over the next maybe 5-10 years to film however many films? I mean, he's definitely a name on that list. Like, the list is never ending, and you can add people daily to it. But it will be a while before we get any confirmation on it. They've said that they're going to wait well after Daniel Craig has kind of been put to bed, and you know, fans have kind of let that No Time to Die hysteria die down. and then they'll start thinking realistically about where they're going next.
Back to the music then and the Bond themes, Simon. We've spoken about Goldfinger by Shirley Bassey. What other Bond songs do you think did a really good job?
Yeah, well, you, for every Bond theme, you have to have the essential elements, and that's the slower bit, the slower chill bit. Then you've got the bit that fits in very well with the action sequences, and probably Paul McCartney and Wings' Live and Let Die was probably one of the best exponents they ever had of that.
Okay, let's listen.
You used to say live and let live.
You know you did, you know you did, you know you did.
But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you live and let die.
Ray has been in touch to say that that for him is the best Bond theme. Another listener, though, says Nobody Does It Better by Carly Simon.
Yeah, oh, I'll grant you that. Absolutely, absolutely. And that's almost romance Bond that you have in there. So while Live and Let Die is explosions Bond, Nobody Does It Better is romance Bond. So you've got, as long as you've got those key elements, you know you're doing well.
Yeah, what are the other elements, though? I mean, you've got the romance Bond and then the high drama. What else do you need? Yeah.
Well, I think you probably need something. You've got to do it because the key to, I suppose, a Bond movie is pacing, and that you have those bits that almost fill in between the very romantic bits and the big explosion and car chase bits. So every song has got to have that. And they went through a phase where they didn't worry too much about it. So you had tracks like Aha's The Living Daylights, where they were trying to modernise. And then there was more recently Sam Smith, and there was Madonna, and they seemed to be missing any of the elements. It was a sort of, it's a real mush up of everything. Whereas this time around now, by going for Billie Eilish, they've gone for something that now puts those elements back together again. Starts off all very calm because James Bond has retired, but you know that by the end of that credit sequence, there's going to be an Aston Martin DB9 flying around the place and something will have blown up.
Okay, let's have a listen to Billie. I think that works. I think that's very Bondish.
Yeah, and it builds very, very nicely right the way through.
Orla, do you have a favourite Bond theme?
Yeah, they were some of my living, you know, the Carly Simon one is definitely one that comes up on my Spotify every once in a while. You go, oh yeah, that was such a good one. And obviously more recently, Skyfall is kind of echoed back to those old days of kind of the big ballad and the kind of, you know, the tingles that you'd get when she'd reach the big part of the song. And then disappointing ones like Sam Smith, I thought that was actually really disappointing. And then I was really eager to hear what Billie Eilish's take on it would be, and just to see how she would manage kind of fitting in with kind of decades of history. And I remember when that song came out, I put it on the car and volume up, and it was that kind of slow build to this big win. And it was just a great return to just great Bond songs after what I would have called a very disappointing outing from Sam Smith.
Mm-hmm. That's the writings on the way, on the wall.
On the wall, you're from Spectre, yes.
And your disappointing ones?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think anything from Spectre was kind of disappointing. Another Way to Die, Alicia Keys and Jack White, which I was really looking forward to because I kind of thought these are two people who really know how to put something like this together. But when you put the two together, it just didn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, just didn't work. And you can't, I suppose when you listen to a Bond theme, it has to be evocative for a start, but you also have to imagine it with the titles. You know, it has to work with the titles because you're buying people in. People have waited 3 or 4 years for the latest movie. And, you know, it's got to be, I'm sitting in the cinema now. Big speakers, big screen. This is what I want to get. So you got to give them what they want.
You're never going to beat Shirley, though, are you? And you're never going to beat Sean Connery.
I will grant you both of those
yeah,
things.
Yeah, I think
yes.
That's where we're at. But anyway, No Time to Die is out at the end of the month. And we'll all go to see it, won't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you both, Orla and Simon. Now, we're going to take a quick break. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.